You call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
Are you there, Nicole?
Yes, I'm here.
There we go. How are you doing this week?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. Good to talk to you again. Been a while since I was doing a Friday wire.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, so I guess the first story we have this week, a federal minister has resigned from cabinet to clarify whether he has dual citizenship. What's that all about?
Yes, so we talked about this on Neighbourhood Watch a bit last week, but back then it was happening with the Greens Party. A few members were resigning because they found out they were dual citizens. And so now it's the Federal Resources Minister, Matt Canavan, who may not be able to sit in Parliament. So basically, in Australia's constitution, there's a provision in Section 44, which says that any person who's a citizen to a foreign power should not be able to sit either as a senator or a member of the House of Representatives. So now Canavan has resigned from the front bench to see if he's a dual Italian-Australian citizen. It's quite a unique story in a sense because he says that his mother applied for Italian citizenship in 2006 without his knowledge and applied for him at the same time. And he was 25 years old at the time. So his explanation was basically that his mother raised the possibility with him that he may be an Italian citizen after she heard about the two Greens deputy leaders resigning for the same reason. So he's checked with Italian authorities, apparently, and they confirmed that the application wasn't signed by him. And so now he's seeking legal advice as to whether registering as a citizen without his knowledge or consent is valid under Italian law.
Oh, my gosh!
I know. So the whole situation is just, you know, a complete mess. And I'm sure the Prime Minister regrets his recent comments about the Greens. He was saying that the members resigning was just sloppiness on the part of the party. So we'll have to wait to see what happens. I mean, who knows how many parliamentary members will have left after all this.
That's incredible, especially, yeah, considering that he didn't apply for that himself. That's great. Oh, his mother must have felt awful when she heard about them resigning and had to tell him. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I thought she was doing something nice to him.
Yeah. Oh, that's awful. Yeah. The second story we have today, there are allegations that... Okay, I'm very confused with this one. There are allegations that people are stealing water from the Murray River.
Yes. So the Murray-Darling Basin spans most of Australia from Queensland to SA. And so SA has always had issues with there not being much water left by the time that it gets downstream. So there's been allegations that upstream irrigators are harvesting water for the basin, and the SA government, Indigenous and environmental groups, and key senators all want answers as to why water designated to return to SA is allegedly being used for cotton farms up north. So there was a Murray-Darling Basin plan a while ago in which taxpayers bought billions of litres of water in order to ensure that it made it downstream and wasn't used up by these irrigators. And so an investigation by Four Corners, which is a current affairs program on our national broadcaster, they found that despite this plan, the water still wasn't making it to the southern part of the basin. So South Australia's Water Minister, Ian Hunter, says that if their investigation is correct, then New South Wales has some serious questions to answer. But they have, of course, denied all of the allegations. So it's not really clear what's happening, if the government's aware of it or not. But it's interesting.
Yeah, that's wild. I was thinking when I saw this story, I was thinking it must be something like art thieves, just like in a van, or like petrol siphoning all the water out, just like... got balaclavas or the pantyhose balaclavas just like stealing water in buckets out of the river. Not as exciting as that, but still, yeah, really intriguing. And just lastly, Queensland is set to build one of the world's longest electric vehicle highways.
Yes, so this is quite an interesting story. So the Queensland state government has announced a 2,000 kilometre network of electric vehicle charging stations, which will be coming to the state within 6 months. So it'll be one of the world's longest electric vehicle highways, with the 18-station network stretching along Queensland's east coast from Cairns to Coolangatta and west to Toowoomba. So yeah, it's kind of a similar distance to the West Coast Electric Highway in the US, which runs from California to Washington State, and it will cost $3 million. So although there's only about 700 electric cars already on Queensland roads.
I was going to say, how often do you just see an electric car driving around?
I don't know. I haven't seen a Tesla, I don't know, like recently in the last 5 years. So if there's only 700, I think they just want to prompt more people who can afford it to buy electric vehicles and hopefully transition to like lower emissions across the board, because as it stands, Queensland is Australia's biggest carbon polluter, and the transport sector makes up the second largest source of carbon emissions, with passenger cars alone making up almost half of that. So, you know, it's a welcome investment from an environmental perspective, and I think, you know, consumers who can afford electric cars, you know, will be pleased to hear this, because maybe they would have been hesitant to buy one without having, you know, an actual network and be confident that they can charge their cars along the way. But I don't know how readily utilised it will be in the near future, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely. Nicole, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, talk to you then.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.